it is time for Frivolity 2. And I spun this off of a very short conversation that we had a couple of weeks ago, might have been just a week ago, about carnivals and how the carnival is doing. Because I got curious, because I asked the question, how are carnivals doing these days? And also did a little research on Netflix, because there's a show on there called You Can't Ask That. And it is it's an Australian based show, but it talks about a bunch of different maladies and troubles and tribulations and life choices that people make, and oddities, I would say, in life. And one of them was an episode about carnies, which has been an interest of mine, since you see like things from the 1930s, 40s, and 50s, and especially in movies and stuff like that, of just the carny and the nostalgia around that and carny culture. So I did a little research online, like you should, to see how, number one, carnivals are doing, B, what's up with carny culture these days, and then how much do rides cost?
Okay.
At the carnival. And that's how we'll wrap everything up here.
Okay.
So I'll tell you just straight off the top, you were correct. Carnival's doing very well. Doing very well,
all right,
actually.
I like to hear that.
Yeah, that you're correct, or that carnivals...
No, carnivals are fun.
Carnivals are fun, yeah. So a lot of companies in the last couple of years have been experimenting with, you're not going to like this, the digital. So VR, AI... AR experiences being integrated into the carnival to grab the younger audience member. They're streamlining operations because of rising costs, like every industry is dealing with. But typically, what is considered the peak of the carnival, you might think of the 50s and 60s and even maybe the 70s as the peak, but that was probably more of its cultural peak. Attendance-wise, the early to mid-2000s was when they were getting the absolute most amount of people through the door, and this rides right alongside with attendance to state fairs as well. So State Fair of Texas here, there's Houston Livestock Show down south, the Iowa State Fair, and the Minnesota State Fair, probably the four biggest fair rodeo.
Don't forget about the Ventura County Fair.
Oh, how could
that
you
I've
possibly?
Been to. Several times.
Have you? Is that where y'all saw Midland?
That's exactly right. Well, Matt got emotional.
Well,
that's when they called me on stage, tip sheet. That's the audio from that.
The Minnesota State Fair broke its attendance record in 2019 when they had 2.1 million attendees. The Iowa State Fair broke its in 2024, so just last year, surpassing its 2019 mark, going almost to 1.2 million visitors. And then, of course, we talked about this last year. It was the State Fair of Texas's banner year in 2024, getting nearly 2.4 million people through the front door.
Now, when I go like three or four different times, am I counted three or four different times, or
every
just
time?
Once? Because they have that, they know me.
They have your card.
Right. They have my facial recognition. Oh,
well,
here
this
he is.
Year, as the MC, as the...
of the opening ceremony,
yeah,
sir. That's my official...
What's your official title?
Master of Ceremony for the opening ceremonies of the State Fair of Texas.
So maybe...
That's another long title.
I know.
Should I get business cards?
You should. You would love a paper business card, wouldn't you?
Oh, my God.
Have you ever had a business card?
Of course.
Surely you have.
Of course.
Do you have one on you?
I don't have one
now. I'm so surprised. So surprised.
And I get asked that all the time. Like, that's still a huge thing. I didn't think that. Now people have, of course, the digital where
right.
You can say, I can't remember what app it is that you could. I can't remember. But, man, all the time now I have a
TikTok
bowl full of business cards that people
still hang out.
That's got to
be the oldest person app of all time, a business card app.
No, it's like giving the information out. I had to download it one time because someone was trying to give me their information. There it is. Hi, hello. Have you heard of that?
Never.
Hello.
Anyone? Hi, hello.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Okay, thank you, Saad.
Saad probably comes from a world of business cards, too.
Oh, yeah, I have a big stack.
Big journalism and business cards.
It's the greeting now. Instead, almost right before the handshake, they're trying to hand you a business card, and I feel like I'm naked when I don't have one.
Yeah. Donnie has a Rolodex at home.
stacked up with. You do, don't you?
No, I don't. I don't.
Also, if you get invited to, you know, your alma mater or something like that to speak, you want to just have something to pass out.
Mm, look who's getting invited back to their alma mater.
Mm. I was pointing at you. They're having a street named after you and all.
Again, you blink, you'll miss it.
You guys are such a big deal.
I have thought about getting business cards.
We need to
get I want the company to provide those. I don't want to have to go get them on my own.
Good luck.
Yo, good luck with that.
So back to carny culture. So one of the interesting things that I found in the Netflix documentary, which has like 100 episodes of different stuff that you could watch, but one of them is about carnies called You Can't Ask That, is just how tight-knit the like each outfit is and how they stick together. And it's very – it's obviously – nomadic. It's obviously people that don't necessarily fit into the mold of other jobs and other lifestyles that are joining this this interesting group of folks that have definite connotations about them and what people think about them, like the carnival ride and the carnival games and the people that run those have in the past and very often be equated to con artists.
Sure.
And
because it's, you find it difficult to win those games.
Right.
Like it's rigged.
And that was one of the things that they asked the carnies in this show is, are the games rigged? And they said, well, they're very difficult and we make it so. They are not rigged. None of them are rigged. And I'll tell you why. It is bad business. If nobody wins, you don't see anybody winning. Nobody comes and plays this game.
Okay. That makes sense. But how do you toe that line for so, you don't make it too easy where you're losing money, I guess?
What they've done is it rigged? No. Are there strategies that we know that you don't know? Yes. Like that bottle over there is a little bit – has a wider mouth. So it's harder – or these three bottles over here have a thinner mouth, so it's easier to get the ring on there. The bottom of this little bucket that you have to shoot this ball in is a little bouncier than the other three that we have, so it's not going to deaden as much.
Okay.
Or the big one that they say their biggest seller is the basketball hoop.
Oh, of course.
And they're like, yeah, we don't do anything to the basketball hoops.
Nah, I don't know about that.
What they do is they
overinflate the ball.
What they do is they set it at odd heights and at odd distances that nobody would ever try to shoot at. So it'd be like 12 and a half feet tall at like 27 feet away.
Gotcha.
And so it makes it more difficult. Or they will use a smaller hoop.
Well, then that's cheating.
In a way, yes. But you also know what you're getting into.
So, tip sheet, have you ever won a basketball game at the fair?
No, I've never tried because of
the connotation.
These reasons.
I won once. Luckiest shot I'll ever make. I probably could never, ever do it again.
Yeah, I don't trust the ball, the hoop, anything.
And it was the big one also. It wasn't the little one. It was the 12-footer or whatever, yeah. And I nailed it.
Yeah, I did it at Six Flags one time, got one of their college basketballs, but then I really wanted to ride the Texas Giant, and I tried to hide the ball in some bushes. Guess what wasn't there when
of
I got
Of course
back.
Not. You have to carry that with you.
They said I couldn't bring it on the ride. I had to get out of line to hide it in the bushes.
I will bet you could have handed that to him and said, when I come back around, give me my basketball.
Probably. But I think I thought I had a better chance of it getting stolen if I put it in the cubby or just handed it to some 17-year-old that didn't care.
Okay.
But
What school did you get?
USC. I brought in a USC Barry Zito jersey.
Oh, okay. Well, then that makes sense. I know you loved USC so much.
It was a very short dalliance. All right, I'll direct you to your email.
My email?
Yeah, and we'll talk about freak shows while you get there. So one of the biggest thing about carnivals, and if you've watched The Greatest Showman or any other piece of media surrounding carnivals and freak shows, you probably know we don't really do this so much anymore. There are some that still run, but it's more about empowerment and flaunting your differences than it is pointing and saying and showing how crazy these people are. Like, oh, bearded lady, so ugly. That's not how we do it anymore.
Right.
But they do still exist in some spots. But generally, you can kind of track it around the 60s was when the freak show stopped being a thing for quite some time. And then somewhere in the early 2000s, 2020s, we started kind of getting back into just, you know, they're volunteering for it. They're not being stolen from somewhere or forced to do it because they can't get anything else. So let's talk about the pricing on some of these rides that you'll see at the carnival. So I'll direct you to the individual one first. So I sent you two emails. One has one by itself and the other has a group. So I'll take you to the one by itself. And this is the Dutch wheel. It is a Ferris wheel. And we're going to play a little prices right here and see if you can guess how much each of these pieces of carnival equipment costs.
Like the whole entire ride?
The whole ride.
How much that costs?
This is a Ferris wheel. It's used. It's a family ride. It's a Ferris gondola. It's located in the United States. It has multicolored compartments.
Right.
For
and
your
a lot
patrons.
Of compartments, as
lots
a matter of
them.
Fact. Yeah, you can get a lot of people on that ride. I will say that that would cost used
$4,500. $4,500.
Yeah.
The correct answer
is... I'm so way off on this.
$199,000.
$200,000 for that?
All right, go to your other email that I've sent you, and we'll do from left to right. So this first one that you're looking at is the Owen Dark Ride. It is a haunted mansion.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a haunted house that has a cart that you sit in, and it drives you through.
Yeah, it drives through. I love those.
Yeah.
Well, I don't love them. But.
No, but they are cool, aren't they? Yeah. They're fun. So where would you place the pricing of the Haunted Mansion Owen Dark Ride?
Well, if that Ferris wheel is $200,000, I'm going to have to up the ante a bit and say that this whole entire setup would cost you used $225,000.
You know, you're a lot closer than you were on the last one, but to get the Owen Dark Ride, which was made in 2008, has a capacity of 20 humans, $379,000. It is big money getting.
I see. That's why they're charging those prices now. Yep. You have to get their money back.
All right, let's see if we can find something within your budget a little bit here.
I doubt it.
Let's go on to the next one. This will be a bumper car setup. It is a park model, if that changes anything for you.
There it does.
Are bumper cars, scooters, and Dodgems. This is, again, a family ride. How much for the bumper cars?
$150,000.
Man, we're going to come in way under on this one at $39,000.
Okay.
We can get you a nice set of bumper cars.
What if I put that in my front yard?
In your front yard, the bumper car? You know what? I think
My front yard is not that big. I'm not Corby.
Let's move on to the next. And this is a double-decker carousel.
So, okay.
This is another family ride located in the United States. Made in 2013. It does have a ground mount with a racked trailer, if that changes your pricing.
It does.
Here.
I have to adjust everything now.
Right. So how much for the double deck carousel?
In the immortal words of one hustle man from Martin, 75 G's.
Times 10, $750,000.
I am so terrible at this game.
As we play Carnival Prices Right, I have two more very quick ones here for you. This one is another carousel-type ride, but it's a wheelie motorcycle ride.
Okay, that's definitely not as expensive, because that's a little kiddie ride.
Yeah.
Give me $25,000.
$25,000. How about $200,000?
Okay, you know what? This is dumb.
And one last
one. How are they doing well?
One last one. The Swing Tower. It is the tall tower with the swings on it.
Yeah.
Classic. It is a major ride classification, a tower ride classification. How much for Swing Tower?
$400,000.
A bajillion dollars.
Norm comes out a little closer here because this one is $1.6 million.
You're out of your mind. They are out of their mind with those carnival rides.